Hey, we want to welcome all you guys to Home of Christ, and we have some kids maybe going off to Sunday school, so we'll want to dismiss those guys. Here at Home of Christ in Newark, we pray to be a Christ community of thoughtful faith and action, and part of what that means is that He calls us to take the faith that we have in Him, the relationship that we have in Him, by grace, and to extend that grace out into the world, to put legs to what we believe. Scripture calls us that to be not only hearers of the Word, but doers of the Word. And that's what we want to be. We believe that we meet God and we experience God in the midst of following Him, in the midst of obeying His call to come and follow me, in the midst of living out His Word. And that's what we try to do here at our church. So a whole bunch of stuff in keeping with that. I want to just go through quickly some announcements. Next Sunday, at lunchtime, our brother Sheen and our sister Katie are helping us to organize a barbecue at lunchtime. So we hope all of you guys can make it. It's going to be a barbecue to celebrate our graduates. So can we have anybody who just graduated from high school or college please stand up? We have two, I think, here today. Yay, Daniel and Denise. All right. So we have a couple other graduates that we're going to invite to come, but we're going to celebrate them as well as, of course, the 4th of July. It's going to take place at Newark Community Park just down the street, and we can give you directions for that if you guys are around. Hope you guys will all join us for the barbecue. If you're interested in helping out with barbecue, you like to grill things up, talk to Sheen and Katie, and they'd love to integrate you into their well-designed menu. Our servant leader internship, which is for college students during the summertime, is starting up really soon. In fact, on Monday, we're going to have a little orientation for our interns. I'm really excited about it. I'm excited about the interns who've volunteered their time to serve the Lord this summer, and we're going to do some really exciting stuff. So please keep us in your prayers, and pretty soon you'll start seeing them up here on Sundays sometimes and around the church, and you'll see the work that they're doing. Coming up next month, and I'll talk about this a little bit more a little later, we're going to have a children's ministry pledge project, and more details on that to come. But just kind of, I'd like to ask you guys to begin praying for the ways that our English ministry can start to contribute more to the children's ministry. We've always been partners and part of our children's ministry here at our church, but we want to help them to expand. That's going to be a goal for us over the next month. And so please keep that in your prayers. Part of that is we have lots of babies. And babies and babies and babies. So we're going to have a baby dedication service on July 24th, and probably another one in the fall. And we'll see how many of the seven or so babies are going to be ready on the 24th to do that baby dedication service. The other things are in your bulletin. We invite you to keep praying about them. Sign up for summer retreat, which is the beginning of August. And let's do our prayer time. For our prayer time this Sunday, what we do every Sunday in our church is we invite you to get together in little groups of four or five people just where you're sitting. If you don't know each other, just encourage you to introduce yourself a little bit. But maybe among the five of you ask two or three of you just to volunteer to pray on behalf of the group. But everybody can sort of pray in their hearts together. And this week what we want to ask you to pray for specifically is for the this area of growth in our church. We have always been a mixed age church, a congregation, which I'm so thankful for. I'm thankful for us having people young and old. But I'd say that our average age is inching up to that age where we have a phenomenon like having six or seven babies in a year, which is kind of what we've been experiencing. And so it's becoming clear to us that the next frontier for our ministry, even though we'll continue to serve young adults and youth and continue all the ministries that we currently have, but the next frontier for our ministry is families. And what we're praying for and working on is the expansion of our family ministries. And what that means is supporting our children's ministry and helping that to grow. It means learning to take care of parents so that we offer support and help and a fellowship for parents, and also welcoming new families into our church family, being the kind of congregation that folks in our community and people in our own networks, your friends, your coworkers, your family members, who are looking for a church, an English-speaking church, where they can bring their kids and they'll know that their kids will have great programs for them. We want to be that kind of church. And I think that's one of the next horizons for our church's future. And so that's something that involves all of us. I know that when I was 17 years old or 18 like Daniel was, having kids was the furthest thing from my mind. But I knew that God was preparing me one day to be a dad. And, you know, 12 years later, I'm getting to be a dad. And so I just want to encourage all of you guys, even if you think that you're too young to think about family ministries, to consider this as a calling for you too, because it's a calling for our whole church. How can we all step up together to take care of this new part of our church, this new stage that our congregation is entering? And so I want to invite you guys now to just get it together into groups of five or so, and to pray for these requests, just two or three volunteers to pray for these requests, introduce yourselves to each other, and in about 5 minutes I'll wrap us up, and then we'll have our message, okay? All right, turn around, smile. Hello, let's pray. Hey, about a month ago, we did a cool thing here at our church. We had a commissioning service for myself and Dean to be co-leaders of this ministry. And I've been I got to tell you guys, this last month as I've worked with Dean and gotten to know him, I'm so inspired by this guy's passion and conviction for the Lord, his love for the Word. He's just got a heart that I'm just learning to enjoy more and more every day. And so I'm really excited. This is actually his first Sunday preaching for us this morning, and he's dying to speak to us from God's Word and to share God's message with us. So let's really warmly welcome Dean this Sunday.
Morning, Six. All right, we're going to resume our worship in the Word of God shortly, but before I do that, I'm kind of new to Six, and I'm dying to get to know a lot of you guys. And so I'm just going to ask you to do me a favor, okay? Now, please take out your cell phones. Don't turn it off, okay? If it's off, turn it back on. This is what I'm going to ask you to do for me very quickly, okay? I need you to give me your names and your email address. And this is what I'm going to ask you to do. All right, if you have a smartphone, okay, go to your message app, and please send a short SMS to this number. Give me your name and your email address, okay? If you don't have a smartphone, if you have a regular phone, please put my number down onto your cell phone so you guys know how to reach me, okay? Now, okay, and here's the deal. Can you guys decode that? Okay, this is what I'm gonna do. It's my plan, it's my idea, it's my desire to meet each of you one-on-one, if at all possible, before September. So, if you text me and set up a meeting, I will buy you lunch. Your brother in Christ. That's what it means. Okay, so if you text me, email me, call me up, and say, hey, Dean, do you want to meet up for lunch or for coffee? I will take care of the meals. I will take care of coffee. Okay, deal? Give me a call before September. I really want to meet up and talk to you guys. So, laughing out loud, free lunch, so cool. Okay. All right, that's it. Now back to our worship in the Word of God. I have a confession to make. I'm a movieholic. I love watching movies. Okay, if you go to my house, you'll see a shelf with all the DVDs. I got a whole series of Rocky. The whole series on the First Blood. The Godfather's trilogy. And all the movies of Star Trek. The new one that came out in 2009, I watched that one at least 15 times. Okay, just go and ask Emily. I love watching movies. And having watched so many movies, you cannot see a pattern of how the story develops. Okay, if you watch chick flick, for example, the story usually goes like boy meets girl, girl dates boy, they get to know each other better. But it doesn't matter how long the movie is, at exactly the 15-minute mark before the end, they will break up. They will always break up. And then the next 15 minutes is where they get back together, you know, they kiss each other, they get married, and No, they go home. If it's an action movie, at exactly the 15-minute mark before the end of the movie is where things get the most hopeless, you know, the darkest and the most bleak hour in the storyline. Do you guys watch Battle LA? It just came out? Okay. No? Should I give away the story? No? Okay. Let's use another example. Matrix. Everybody's seen Matrix, right? So if you just fast forward to the 15-minute mark, that's when Neo was in the apartment complex, and that's when he got shot by Agent Smith. And then that's when Lawrence Fisher, Morpheus, had his face outside the Matrix. Okay, at exactly the 15-minute mark, when things get the worst, okay? So why would you think what happened to those movies if that was the end? And you never get to watch the final 15 minutes. The worst movie ever. And that's exactly how the Jews felt during the time of Malachi. And that will be our topic today. Malachi. Have you guys read that book? It's very short, only 4 chapters. If you haven't read Malachi yet, I strongly encourage you to read the book from chapter 1 to chapter 4. Malachi, in Hebrew, it sounds like Malachi. Okay, Malach means messenger. When it has the E ending, it means my messenger. Whose messenger? God's messenger. So scholars debate what Malachi means. Is it a title or is it a name? We don't know. Okay, we don't care either. And all the prophets work for God wholeheartedly. Okay? They give up their lives. Sometimes they give up their families. They give up richness, their wealth, just so that they can preach the word of God to the nation. But one sad thing about this particular group of people, the Old Testament prophets, is that somehow they all failed miserably. Somehow. There were some really good ones that were able to revive the generation. They were able to bring spiritual revival to the whole country for a generation or two. But it never lasts. Okay? After a generation or two, things get worse. So in a way, it looks like the stock market back in 2000. Okay? It just keeps going down. One day, it comes back, and it just keeps going down until it hits rock bottom. And that's Malachi. God keeps sending prophets after prophets, but nothing works. It doesn't matter. Let's give you some examples. Some of the very good prophets in the history of Old Testament. The best of the best prophets, if you ask any Jews who the best prophet would be, he'll tell you Moses. What happened to Moses? Was he able to enter the land of rest? No. He threw a tantrum and that was it. Right? God told me, okay, you're going to die outside Canaan. You're not going to even get there. How about any of the kings? King David, Solomon, Saul, Hezekiah, or Josiah. Some of those are really good kings, but were they able to bring an everlasting change to the nation? No. Never. They all failed miserably. And the time that Malachi was written, it was after exile, right? Remember the Jews got deported to Babylon, and they came back, right? And we ask, what's the purpose of exile? It's a punishment. Punishment for what? For doing the wrong things, right? And God punished them because they want to bring the nation back to them. And did it work? Did punishment work? No, it never worked. Before the exile, God tried so many other things. He tried flood, water. He tried fire and brimstone. He tried scattering the nations so they speak different languages. He tried the 10 plagues, famine, drought, war, and even locusts, little bugs. Nothing ever worked. Okay? People just stray away from God. Nothing ever worked. Okay? And after exile, things actually got worse. Okay, if you read the book of Malachi, you see infidelity everywhere. After the Jews came back to their own land, even their own priests, they were offering lame animals to God. God asked for the best, and they gave God the worst. Husband and wife, they were divorcing each other left and right. People worship God, and then they worship other gods too. Okay, and if you read Malachi 3:5, I'm just going to read it out here. That's how things, how bad things got. Malachi 3:5. And this is God talking. So I will come to put you on trial. I will be quick to testify against sorcerers, idolaters, and perjurers, against those who defraud laborers of their wages, who oppress the widows and the fatherless, and deprive the foreigners among you of justice. But do not fear me, says the Lord Almighty. Hopeless. It's like when you watch how Neil got shot, you know, in the apartment. I remember the first time I watched Matrix, I was like, this can be it. Is this it? He died and there's no way, you know. That's how the Jews felt. That's how Malachi felt. We've tried everything. Nothing worked. And what all these to say is 1,000 years of religion just doesn't cut it. It just doesn't work. Nothing works. Okay, you can do some math up there. So 1,000 years, what does that mean? What's that like? That's 250 Olympics, okay? That's 1,000 Passovers, 1,000 Days of Atonement, and at least 1,000 burnt offerings, peace offerings, trespass offerings, sin offerings, and that equates to millions of divine barbecues and animals sacrificed. Millions of rams, lambs, doves. Now I'm getting hungry. It just doesn't work. Nothing works. At the time of Malachi, things is just so bad. Okay, the Jews don't know who they are. They worship other gods. And that's it. That's the end of the Old Testament as we know it. So, what if I tell you that's it, there's no more? Okay, I'm going to play a short clip from Toy Story 3. Have you guys seen that movie, Toy Story 3? You know how Woody and Buzz Lightyear, you know, they were in their home and, you know, there's like some miscommunications within family, so they end up in sunny daycare, and then they end up in the incinerator, right? The garbage site. And then all they want to try to do is go back home, okay? And this, I'm going to play a short clip of the 15-minute mark, okay, of the movie. So let's take a look.
Billy! Come on! Go! Go! Hit the button!
Thank you.
Okay, sorry for doing this to you. What if I tell you that's the end of Toy Story 3? What if I tell you this is the end of my sermon? You think I'm done preaching, huh? So, man, this is the worst sermon I've ever heard. So depressing. No, no, I was just preaching the 400 years of silence between Old Testament and New Testament. After 400 years of silence, are you guys ready for the last 15 minutes of the story now? After 400 years of silence, all of a sudden, one day, God started broadcasting again. And this time, the story is so good. The message is so important. He doesn't send a human prophet anymore. He sent an angel. His name is Gabriel. And the first person whom Gabriel preached the gospel to is a woman. And her name is Mary, who is going to give birth to the Son of God. And the rest is history. So how did the story develop? What's the last 15 minutes like? Remember how at the end of Malachi, we know religion doesn't cut it. God tried to make a change. He does all these things, nothing worked. But in Christ, how are things different? Remember how all the animals were sacrificed so that God would bring people back to him? Nothing worked. But Jesus came, one person, the sacrifice of one changed all that. No more animals needed, no more divine barbecues. One person that reconciled, because of his blood, because of his death, he reconciled humankind to God himself. In Malachi, punishment just doesn't work. God tried everything. Nothing works. In Christ, what did he do? Not only did he give us a new heart, he gave us a new spirit, new identity. He gave us a new passport of the new kingdom. We are new citizens. We are in a new family. Something about this is a new identity that we have. I grew up in Taiwan, and when I was 14, our family moved to Canada. And so I'm getting my new passport ready and everything, and they asked me, hey, do you want a new name for yourself? Do you have an English name? If you don't have one, you know, it's time to pick one now, and it's gonna stick with you for life. Okay, and I got so excited, you know. Oh man, I can give myself a new name because I didn't really like my Chinese name. It sounds kind of feminine, you know, kind of girly. So I didn't like it that much. And being a MacGyver fan, I was like, okay, his name is Richard Dean Anderson. Richard is kind of common, and I don't know what Anderson means. So, okay, I'll be Dean then. Okay, from now on, everybody calls me Dean. That's my new identity. That's my new ID, new self. And later on, I found out that in Canada, nobody knows who MacGyver is. Nobody knows who nobody knows who Richard Dean Anderson is. But I want to be like MacGyver so much. You know, I name myself Dean. That's the name I put in my passport. Likewise, our identity reflects the people, the person who gave us life. When Hemi was born, my first one, everyone's like, oh, he looks like you. Oh, no, no, he looks like Emily. No, nobody would say something like, oh, he looks like Keanu Reeves. He looks like, you know, Stallone. Right? It just doesn't make sense because his identity comes from us, the people who give him life. And So the question is, and so it's the same way. After we become Christians, you know, we want to be like the person who gives us life. That's why we want to be like Christ. It's not just a command. It's more like a natural reflection of who we are now. In Malachi, we know none of the human prophets can bring an everlasting change to the nation. How is that different when Christ came? In the Bible, we know he's better than any human prophets. In Hebrew, he's better than any priest. He's better than any human kings in known human history. He's better than the best. It's kind of like, do you guys play Big Two? Michael's like, ah. If you play Big Two, Christ is like the two of spades, the trump card. You know, if people got all the store their best hands and you have a two of spades, you are not afraid at all, right? Because you know you can trump them all. Let's see. If you are a transformer, okay, Christ is like your old spark. You know, he powers you. He gives you all the energies. He gives you a purpose. And if you're Jason Bourne, then Christ is like the director of Operation Treadstone. He holds the file of your true identity. You won't know who you really are until you find the director. And if you're a Christian, he is your God, your Savior, the one you worship, the one you follow. Okay. So that's your last 15 minutes of the movie, of the story. Now, back to a Toy Story. Woody, very interesting guy. Remember, whenever he has to make a tough call, he has to make a tough decision. Do you remember why he always does? There's something that he always does. If you catch that pattern. Bingo. He sits down, take a look at the bottom of his shoes, the boots, and what does he find on it? Andy. His owner's name, Andy. Why? Because Andy is the guy that gives meaning to Woody's life. Andy gives significance to his existence. He knows, Woody knows who he is. He knows he belongs to Andy. He knows Andy loves him, Andy adores him, Andy cherishes him. He would do anything for Andy. So the question for us is, if we go to the bottom of our heart, whose name do we find over there? Whose name is inked in our heart? What do we do things for? Why do we choose to do the things we do? Who is it or what is it? Why are we here? Whose name is on the bottom of our hearts? Now, when you guys find that name, you know that person gives significance to our existence. He gives meaning to our lives. Okay? And I hope the name that you found starts with J. As we close, Malachi, his name means my messenger, God's messenger. In a way, we are all Malachis. Right? We preach the gospel, we live the gospel, we tell those around us that we belong to him, that we belong to Christ. And I believe, because of Christ, because of Holy Spirit, that we can all be better Malachis than Malachi will ever be. Because we no longer rely on our own strength. We rely on the one who's right here with us. Let's pray. Lord God, we come before you and continue our worship, knowing what your Son has done for us, Lord. We are reconciled to you in his death. And we have new life. We have this eternity in you because of his resurrection. And we're baptized into this body, into this family, because of him. And Lord, we pray that in our journey to search our hearts, to find that name, that person who injects life and meaning into this life that we have, Father. We pray that we make a connection back to him and know why we are here and know why we do things we do and why we worship. We give this morning and rest of the week to you and pray that everything that we do will reflect the truth and the fact that your Son has died for us. In his name we pray. Amen.